I'm Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us in studio today is multi-platinum selling and 10 times South African Music Award winning Afro-soul vocalist Lyra, who has collaborated with world-renowned musicians and is actively pursuing her international career with shows in Europe and the USA. Earlier this year, she released her debut American album, Rise Again. Last year, she celebrated her 10-year anniversary in the music industry with the release of her autobiography titled Making Her Story. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be on the show.
Now, since embarking on your career nearly a decade ago, you have blazed an astonishing trail of accomplishments that few artists in the history of the entire continent can lay claim to. And you've received a multitude of South African Music Awards, MTV African Awards, Mojo Awards, Glamour Magazine's Woman of the Year, Fashion and Lifestyle Magazine covers and platinum albums, and many more, all of which have left an indelible impression on Africa at large. Can you please share with us a few of the landmarks in your career?
It's tough to pick a few out of a 10-year career, but I'd say performing for South Africa and America's first black presidents were the highlight for me. I was also invited to speak and perform at the Oprah Winfrey School, and she's a big icon for me, and I got the opportunity to meet her very unexpectedly, but I remember she took my hand and led me so we could have a private conversation, and the title of the function was called Be the Change You Want to See, and it was just amazing how she came back to me and she said, I'm so inspired by what you said, you know, that you had an intention to be a positive influence on your community and the country. And so intention really pinpoints your end result. And so just by, you know, following my heart, I was able to have such amazing experiences. Of course, I've had multiple tours, actually global tours. I've toured in the States, in Europe, and of course the African continent. And being somebody who loves traveling, that's probably one of the highlight experiences of my career.
Certainly with a music career like you've had, it absolutely takes you to places that are expected and unexpected.
Indeed.
And some of the unexpected experiences?
I landed up in Beirut for a performance. There was military all over the place, but I strangely felt secure, and it was amazing how people just love songs that they don't understand, but they feel the music. I was also in Egypt, in Cairo. I performed in two places there, in Dubai. You know, Europe loves Africa, so that's different. And the States are quite open because, of course, we've got the African diaspora. But certain areas like that, I didn't expect. I've been to Fiji as well.
And how was that experience?
It was amazing, actually. I remember them teaching us how to dance some of the local moves. And lo and behold, we found South Africans all the way out there because it's so far from home. You wouldn't think so. But it's really been phenomenal. You know, like I say, it's so difficult to pinpoint just a few. It's really been a rich experience in terms of everything that I've had throughout the whole decade.
Now, the Star Tonight newspaper wrote that you are certainly South Africa's biggest star, and you follow in the footsteps of giants such as the late Miriam Makeba and the legendary Letta Mbulu. What's your take on this?
It's a great honor to be compared to such legends. I'm still young. I feel like I'm still starting out in so many levels, but I have broken a lot of records. You know, we've set the benchmark for DVD and live show production on the African continent. It took a lot of guts. I remember just people that have been in this industry for 20, 30 years telling me, this is not a good idea. You're wasting money. Don't put up so much money to put on a show. But I felt I was never doing productions just for South Africa. It was really to set a quality that would be of a global standard. And that's always been my mission. It's always been my passion to create a global African brand, and I couldn't do that by playing just to South Africa, if you will. And just always having those that willingness to even invest in myself. We always wait for record labels or somebody else to rescue you, but I was fortunate enough to plan properly from the beginning so that I could put the bets on my own brand, if you will.
And I think that cultivating your brand, it's critically important as an individual.
And you know, before, the artist would need the record label to pay for the studio time, which is expensive, to find stylists, producers, food, accommodation, transport, marketing. We would even pay for getting on radio or putting your stuff up all over the place. So there's money that somebody has to upfront. And so for that risk, the record label would then claim that 90%. And that's how those numbers are worked out. However, things have changed now. Like, we do so much of the work. So it makes no sense to give up 90% of the product.
Absolutely. It's no hard earnings.
Exactly. But before, like I'm saying, you know, the artists would just, they would have to be put together. It's like, sure, you can sing, but you know you have to be put together. And there's a lot of artists that still are like that, where somebody has to think about how their image must be, what music they must sing. You know what I mean? So for artists like that, they really can't argue a better rate, if you will. But the game is very different for us now, in that, you know, you roll up your sleeves and you do the work, and you even put up money for your own brand. And so you deserve a better return. And so a lot of us are going independent for that reason. And it's really, for me, I always say there's no formula. The old way of approaching the music industry is really falling away. The industry itself is changing, including the market, how people purchase music and engage with the music industry as a whole. So the old way of doing things is completely falling away. So now we're looking for alternative ways of selling our music, of putting our names out there. And the internet has been a wonderful free tool, you know, to get your music and your sound out there. And the thing that will never change, it's always about the song. You still have to write good music that people connect to, that people want to hear and want to buy. And furthermore, there are artists who are great at recording and writing music, but terrible at performing it live. So that the two go hand in hand. Musicians have always made money from performing. But in order for people to come to your shows, they've got to hear it on radio, the internet. Mm-hmm. It's got to be out there. So it's quite a monster of a machine to tackle. But once you know what it's like, then you find ways of maneuvering.
It's creating the package, it's working the brand, and
absolutely
cultivating everything.
Absolutely.
You mentioned the element about live show production. Mm. Can you expand on that a bit?
I found that previously people would pay their ticket and come to a show where the sound is terrible, where the lighting isn't good, or sometimes the sound system is under-specced for the size of the venue. So little things like this were just taken for granted, and I did not want that. I wanted for everyone to have a first-class experience in the room. So the sound had to be perfect. What you saw on stage had to be perfect. It had to be a show, a spectacle. And I've always prided myself on that. The first time we did it, I was terrified. I was like, you know, it wasn't a popular thing to do. And often we would wait for corporate productions to be able to do like a big show, and I wanted to be able to control and tell my own story in a musical fashion. And so the first attempt was in 2009 when I recorded my first DVD. But before then, I'd had so much practice, you know, putting on shows, albeit on a smaller scale. So by the time we did this big show, I was more refined as a performer, called in a lot of favors, but also really organized. I remember we had a big screen where we created animation. I had to do things pre the show to create that environment, because essentially you're creating an experience. And that's always been the thing for me. You are creating an entertainment experience for your audience, something memorable. And it requires a lot of upfront investment on my part, actually my whole team. And so it's risky in some ways, but it's also incredibly rewarding.
It's a real alternative in terms of different live performances and having that as a slick production that people can take away with them.
Very much, yes.
Now, in one of the articles that I read about you, it said that you'd mentioned that you're growing up in the Davytown township in Johannesburg's East Rand was shaped by the harsh realities of South Africa's racial and socioeconomic arbiter at the time. But although there were subtleties in our environment that bred a sense of helplessness and desperation, we became very integrated with not only other black cultures, but people of all backgrounds, and made us thirsty to integrate into the world. Mm-hmm. Can you please share with us some of the moments while growing up that impacted on you the most?
There was, I don't know if I was specifically told not how to behave, but there's certain things that we just knew. One of the things is when we went into town, where, say, white South Africans would be there, we would never look them in the eye. You would just know you keep your head down because you don't want to cause trouble. You keep your head down and you move out of the way. And I remember how the little white children were also taught to just smile. You don't want to aggravate. So there was always that tension. But now that breeds an impression to a child of how your world is. We belong to that corner. Those people belong to that corner. You could see they were treated better. And what I found was growing up, I actually grew up in my formative years in Wattville. And to get to Benoni, which is where the white South Africans were, you'd have to go through the Indian area called Actonville. So you could see the difference. The Indians were better than the black people, but not quite as good as the white people. So already there's that classism. And so
we lived in parallel universes.
It was crazy. And once you cross to the one area, you adjust your behavior. You cross over to the next one, you adjust your behavior some more. And you do this automatically. And it's only when I got older that I realized, oh my God, this isn't how life is supposed to be. With the transition from, you know, the apartheid South Africa into a democratic one, suddenly we were allowed to go into mixed government schools, for example. And I remember the first thing that overwhelmed me was the people that I was so trained to avoid, now I'm sitting in class with them. And my default behavior is to disappear into a corner and not be seen. And so for me, it took a while to be comfortable with who I was, to accept that I was an equal. It really took a while. But then I realized every time I went into town to school and came back into the township, again, two different worlds. You know, you behave in one way in one environment and you behave in another way in another environment. And I wanted to balance that scale. I wanted to feel like myself all the time, to not have to play certain roles. And I realized how that upbringing influenced my how I saw myself. I really saw myself as less than others. And so it influenced my level of ambition. So I didn't think I could achieve certain things, but it also gave me drive. Once I knew I was not limited, I wanted really to push to be the best I could be in my chosen field.
That's a great point. As you mentioned with Oprah, it's about having intent.
Intention, absolutely.
Focusing on that intention to overcome.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Chakachaka, an ambassador for the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program against racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka every week on this day at this time.
You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance on frequency 9625 kilohertz on the 31 meter band. Today, we're talking to multi-award-winning musician Lyra. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. Now, picking up on our discussion. In our previous segment of the conversation, we were talking about your education, your upbringing, and the point of doing that transition within your formative years of going through Bantu schooling and now onto mixed multiracial schools and the impact that that had on your life in terms of opening up your mind and knowledge base. One of the things that touched me was something that you wrote, and I quote, "My generation was the first to break free of our mental limitations and physical boundaries and set ourselves free in a true sense. It celebrates the human spirit, which can never be caged completely. A person can put you in a cage and hurt you, but they can't touch your spirit and your mind." Now today, 20 years after our first democratic election, can you take us back to some of your personal experiences where your spirit overcame those moments?
I'm just trying to find. I would say when I had quit my job, some of the things that had me confused, I was 22 years old. And I spoke a little bit of Afrikaans, a little better than my colleagues who were also black South African. And before I knew it, I was getting invited to certain office, or rather certain company events, and I'd be the only black person there. And this confused me greatly. You know, it just seemed like just because I speak the language, then I've crossed over to the cool club.
So language became a definer of inclusivity.
Very much. Because they felt I could relate, I suppose, on their level. And then I was promoted twice. I was a hard worker. Those I really feel I deserved. But there's just certain things that confused me. I didn't know whether it was because of my own ability or because I was the token darkie, if you will. It really plagued my mind for a long time. You know, you want to be validated for who you are, not for other conveniences. And so I think some of those things added to me wanting to just find more fulfillment in my life. And so, of course, I went into music. The music industry proved exceptionally challenging. And at my darkest hour, I realized that I'd been so used to blaming the system that for the first time, I had to take responsibility for my own perceptions of how my life had been. So now there I was, really depressed and wanting to point the finger outward. And in that instant, I think taking responsibility made me change my attitude. I was going to be responsible for everything that was happening in my life because I have the freedom to choose how to react. That one moment changed my entire life. Because to this day, it does not matter what's happening, how the industry is, how other people are acting. I literally take responsibility. And for me, that's probably the best description for my freedom, is you cannot change what life throws at you, but you have the freedom to choose how to respond. And since then, I remember looking at what I could change, and I stopped moping about what I could not change. And I literally, it's as if my mind then looked for solutions immediately. And in that instant, I literally began finding clients, for example, that would appreciate my level of professionalism and my level of work. I literally found clients and I would do work and I started getting referrals. So, of course, I wasn't making a living at that time as a musician. And within 3 years, I was a fully fledged entertainment powerhouse, if you will. And it gave me a great sense of pride. That's actually how I started my business, is because I just met that need of becoming a professional service provider, providing entertainment for all kinds of environments.
I think that you raise a really important point there, which I feel comes a lot with maturity, of being able to realize that taking responsibility for your personal actions, taking responsibility for where you are going and what your direction is. It's very easy to blame systems and processes, but it's about being able to work them and take charge of your own life.
Very much. And of course, like I'm saying, I got so used to blaming apartheid. I could see in my behavior how it influenced a lot of things that it became habit. And the minute I stopped that, I was like, fine, it's there. So what? So what now? Okay? Like, how do we move on now? And I promise you now that made all the difference. I'm a completely different person because of that simple change. Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
Now, you studied financial accounting and auditing at the Vaal Technikon in South Africa, and I'm sure that your financial skills have served you well in your career. Can you expand in terms of the importance of achieving your academic qualification, given your background, given where you came from, and how it contributed to your career? But also for young girls that are listening on the continent who may be at a crossroads in their life where they're thinking, should I continue with my studies? Should I go and do something else? And they're not certain about the role of academic education in their lives.
In the simplest terms, education refines the mind. it is so important to have a sense of completion in terms of your academic studies. Believe it or not, you will always use it. It will refine your mind, it will train your sense of reasoning and your logic, and it's a tool that you will always use. Nobody can take that away. It's knowledge that you acquire, and you will use it one way or another. So it is important. Once you've started it, I urge you to complete it. What I recognize now is one might think finance and music aren't even related, but oh my word, I've discovered that the process of doing one's books, for example, it teaches you to investigate solutions. It teaches you to think logically and systematically. And now, it's the beautiful thing about life is that once you learn a certain thing in one area, it becomes a ripple effect in other areas of your life.
So transferable skills?
Completely.
And I think this helps you looking in terms of a bottom line on what you're doing, what your outputs are, and what your inputs are.
For the first time, you're actually able to make sense of that. What am I giving in and what's coming out? You learn to balance your life as you balance your balance sheet. You begin to take responsibility for what you're doing with your money. I actually even wrote a song called Miley, and I discuss it at every concert, that people complain about, they work, but they always talk about how they don't have money. Truth is, you have money, but you're spending it frivolously, and you cannot account for what you did with your money. And then you throw your hands up and say, oh, I don't have money. If you sit and account and take responsibility for what you are actually doing with your money, you'll recognize how much waste you actually go through. So for me, being able to account taught me long ago to be careful what I do with my money. And especially with, as a musician, you tend to live from hand to mouth. You receive your money this week and then you do a whole bunch of things. By the end of the month, you're not really sure where it's all gone, but you remember receiving the money. And I learned a very important skill that I suppose nobody will teach you at school, but it works beautifully when you're a musician. Don't touch that money. Rather pay yourself a salary and be disciplined to live within those means. Whatever's left over, you will use to save, because you never know what tomorrow might bring. So now, you know, you give yourself a bit of a cushion for the dry season, if you will. Some of the money you'll use for marketing yourself. You'll need to move around, create new pictures, take on an opportunity that might require you to invest. Even putting on a show sometimes that might not give you the returns is a marketing exercise. So now you start apportioning your money, but if you look at it on a monthly basis, then it makes better sense. Because if you look at per gig, you won't see how you can do it.
The time frames are too short.
It's too short.
You can't possibly review the patterns.
You cannot.
Look at what the expectations are, how things are going to pan out.
And education enabled me to even think that way. So then you start to see it's a useful tool that nobody can take away from you.
I think that that's also one of the most important parts, that once you have it, it's something which cannot be reclaimed or claimed by anybody else.
Absolutely.
Building female leadership capacity, I consider, is really important for the future of women to our country. And as a role model to so many young South African women, but also to other women across the continent, and in fact, across the world, given your international footprint, how do you see female leadership in our country?
Yeah, it's so important, firstly, and I'm excited to say that I've had a lot of female role models in this country. And for me, it was always like when I saw women doing amazing things, it gave me the strength and the confidence to say, okay, so this is possible for me. And that's a big responsibility. If you are in a position where you can go beyond the norm, do it, because the likes of us are watching and it gives us a sense that we can do better. And so even for me, my favorite saying is, be the change you want to see in the world. Actually, as I said that, I just remembered 2 days ago, I was sitting in my house and I've got all the pictures there. You know, sometimes you just get used to, oh, I've got to be there, I've got to do that show, I've got to prepare this. So you're just constantly running.
You're running on the treadmill.
And I stood for a moment, and I mean, it brings tears to my eyes when I think about it. I looked at one article, a cover that I did for Destiny magazine, and I'm looking at this picture, and I think, wow, I look very nice there. And I look at the caption, and I'm looking at other pictures, and I'm like, oh my word, I became the woman that I always was looking up to. I did it. But I never considered it all these years until 2 days ago. So it's a powerful...
So having that reflection...
Mm-hmm. was a powerful thing for me. So going back to what Oprah said is intention. I thought back to the fact that that was my mission. That was my intention. I wanted to be, to set an example for what is possible, not only for myself, but for the young African girl or boy who's watching. For me, my brand is always about creating possibility, because I was in a position where I could take that leap. And now I can confidently say to anyone who wants to follow their passion, it is possible. Go for it, in fact. The only thing I will urge you to do is, yes, please get educated, get a skill, get knowledge, and secondly, correct your thinking to align with the journey that you have embarked on. If you're going to go into it thinking, oh my God, it's too difficult, I'm not going to make a living, it's going to be too hard, you know, you're already setting yourself up.
Yes, you've got a negative perspective and you're almost setting yourself up
for failure. You're setting up for failure. So it's important to adjust your attitude, to adjust your thinking. Bless your life, empower your life, empower your journey. Speak positivity into your life, fuel it, make it a furnace. You know, be your own hero, be your own source of light in that sense. You have got to be, you have got to take responsibility for yourself in that way. And that's for me, that's the only prerequisite if you're going to follow your passion. If you're going to be in a corporate space, I found sometimes you can sort of get by with just, you know, doing the bare minimum. But if you're going to follow your passion, you really have to show up for it mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, in all aspects of life. Yeah, you're going there 100%.
There's such a difference between corporate and being solo. Here you've got to take absolute responsibility for everything that you do.
Every moment in the day. Yeah.
I think those are really powerful words and powerful statements to pass on to our listeners. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Yvonne Chaka-Chaka and I'm UNICEF and Rollback Malaria Goodwill Ambassador. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in the struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy. A program against social ills such as racism, socio-economic class division, and gender-based violence. Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Balka every week on this day at this time.
You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance on frequency 9625 kilohertz on the 31 meter band. Today we're talking to multi-award winning musician Lyra. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In our previous segment, we were talking about the importance of education. We were talking about finding someone's passion to be able to fuel their imagination and to fuel their intent and to visualize and contextualize their direction and where they want to go and to adopt and adjust the right attitude and the right way of thinking. Now turning to the musical space, music has always been a huge inspiration to people. And has occasionally been exploited to influence both political as well as social agendas around the world. How do you see the role of musicians in this regard? And is there a fine line between what is a positive or a negative influence on people's lives?
I suppose there's certainly a fine line. And each of us choose our own path. I can only speak for myself in that I had a clear intention from the beginning that I wanted to be a positive influence on the world, and specifically on Africa. However, there's all kinds of ways that you can go. Of course, there are people making music for the hits for now, for the clubs and whatnot. So I know I feel a certain part of people's existence. So if you want to celebrate your loved ones, or if you want to relax, or if you want to go for a long drive, you typically listen to Lyra music. And I'm fine with that I don't feel a person's everyday sort of life. That's fine, because of course my intention was very clear. And not to even knock anyone else who does any kind of music, I'm just very aware that we all have our own intentions out there. I do feel it's important to have a cause for everything that you do. to have an intention, to have a reason, a purpose for it. And mine is clear. Mine has always been clear. And actually think back to when people say, oh, so how come we don't see you in such and such a tabloid? How come we don't see this being written about you? It's not in alignment with my vision. I'm not likely to behave out of character or out of line with the vision that I've set for myself.
It's your vision, it's your brand, and it's your authenticity.
Very much. And that's the only reason why you wouldn't see me in certain spaces. And not that I'm squeaky clean or anything like that, but I just, there's certain things I will not do. And I'm also aware that I've chosen to be a role model. It's something I've put on my own shoulders. And I take pride in it. It's a legacy that I'm trying to build.
But with that comes a tremendous responsibility in terms of how you display, how you behave, because you're influencing young people.
Very much. But that's also the purpose. I am influencing young people. I am influencing young Africa. I am creating an impression of how the world sees Africa. Yes, I am. That's my mission. That's my purpose.
It's an admirable mission and one that you are certainly well on the way to succeeding in.
Appreciate it.
Now we're coming to the last components of the show, and I'd like to ask you a question that I pose to all our guests. Every August we celebrate Women's Month in South Africa, and I think we're the only country to do it in the world. And in that period we talk about the years that women have struggled and we reflect on the progress that women have achieved. In your opinion, which areas do you think that we still need to build on the most to benefit women in the future?
You know, I think this country has done well in terms of creating empowerment platforms for women, but we need support. It's one thing placing us in a space, but sometimes women get set up for failure. Women need to be enabled to fill certain positions and to take on certain spaces of power or leadership. We do need support. I see it in my own space. I'm enabled. I've got a wonderful husband. I've got a wonderful team. I can't possibly do it on my own, but I've got enablers, you know, around me. So I think that's a very key thing. For me that's the main one. And then I'll just digress a bit and say the thing that's been a theme for me this year and being a woman, and I feel I've covered it almost in every talk that I've given this year. It's just a reminder in the back of my head to say, as women, you know, we're always fighting to be heard, to be seen, to be given an opportunity. That perhaps sometimes we, of course, fight amongst each other, but ultimately it feels like the thing to consider is to develop a sense of self-love and appreciation. If there's a greater sense of self, there's no need to fight amongst each other or to fight so much. In all the things that we do, sort of to influence outer things, our careers, that we need to also invest some energy inwards to feel, a sense of self, you know, the spirit.
You said on self-development?
Very much, but I mean, I even mean it on a spiritual level. You know, we'll always show up for the career. We'll always show up for the children. We'll always show up for the husband. We'll always show up for the church activities. I mean those moments where nobody's watching and you are dealing with your own dark corners. I mean that part. I would urge women to also consider that, you know, to just literally stop all the noise, stop all the roles that we need to play, and just invest a little bit into yourself where nobody's watching, where nobody can look and go, oh, you're doing this well. Oh, you know, so you can literally be by yourself and connect with yourself in that way.
I think that's a really interesting perspective.
Excellent.
And I hope that some women can find the time to do that, because I think quite often they're so pushed extending themselves into multiple different roles.
Exactly.
That they ignore and neglect the self.
This is exactly my point.
And lastly, in closing, can you please share a few words of inspiration that you'd like to pass on to young girls and women in Africa who are listening to the show?
Firstly, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak on the show and to address all these wonderful women listening. My message is always the same. Find out who you are, find out what you love, find out what excites you in life, dare to do it. Build a vision, a very clear vision for yourself. Determine what you can and need to do to see it come true. Roll up your sleeves and do it until you get there. Adjust your thinking. Consider the end result. See yourself at the end and be your own heroine, if you will, in the process. I always find when you dare to do something that's truly, truly meaningful, all kinds of things will come at you, almost challenging you. So it really is just life's way of getting you to be your own hero in that sense. And good luck. God bless.
Thank you for those words of wisdom. You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kilohertz on the 31-meter band. And we have been talking to multi-award-winning musician Lyra. Tune into the show next week when we talk to South Africa's Minister of Water and Sanitation, Ms. Nombula Mokonyana. We play out today's show with Feel Good by Lyra.
I just wanna feel